Tonight's message is on deception. And what is deception? You know, I was driving the other day and the Lord gave me deception. Tell my people deception. You see, they've been deceived. Amen? Yes. So what is the definition of deception? It's the act of making someone believe something that is not true. You see, we look at the Jesus said that the devil is a liar.
Amen. That's right.
And that he's the father of all lies. That's who he is. This is who we're dealing with, saints. He is a liar. He's a liar and he's the father of all lies. Some of the synonyms for deceptions are lying, cheating, guile, cunning. Amen. There's many there. I don't want to say them all, but you can look them up. But he's a liar. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And look what the Lord says when you see that. He goes, "Now the serpent was more cunning." Do you see that? This is part of deception. "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" You see what the devil does, saints, is he twists God's words. He twists them. You see, one of the things I noticed there, saints, is Eve, why was she talking to him? A lot of times we spend too much time listening to the voice of the enemy instead of listening to the voice of God. When the enemy brings doubt and unbelief and fear, that's the enemy. That's deception. He doesn't want you to follow the Lord. That's his purpose, to kill, steal, and destroy, but he does that through lying, making you feel that everything is all right. You question God's word. God's given us his word, saints, that we know who he is. We know that he doesn't change. We know his attributes. We can see his personality, his traits. We can see his love that he has for each one of you. We see his promises in that. And Satan's priority is to take them away from you, to cause you to doubt God's word. Because doubt brings unbelief, and unbelief brings sin. He's very cunning, Satan. He's very cunning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 20. You can look up here on the board. "Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.'" Let me go back a little bit because saints, some of these teachings you have to read. I'm giving you a little portion, but it's really for your benefit if you read the chapters. If you can, write these scriptures down or review them after services they're on again, but it's for your benefit. Amen? Let me see. 2 Chronicles 18. You see, one of the things we need to understand is during this time when this word was spoken, Israel was a divided nation. There was the Judah and Samaria. Now Samaria, they were Jews, but they worshipped other gods. They set up temples. Amen. They listened to false prophets. And they had a king, Ahab, who was very wicked. We need to understand what's going on here. God was not pleased with King Ahab. So he says, let's see. Then the king said, verse 15, then the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? You see, they were going to go out to battle, Judah and Samaria. And the king of Judah wanted a prophet to see if this was of God. So he asked the king of Samaria to call his prophets. Well, he had 400 prophets. And they're all prophesying the same thing. So they call for another. He says, then he said, I saw, this is talking about Micah. So the king asked him, how many times do you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Verse 16. Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? You see, sometimes saints, when the word comes, we don't like it. But God loves his children, and he corrects them. He's a loving father. Amen. Amen? Amen? Verse 18, then Micah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? You see, this was God's purpose. He was an evil king. He was leading Israel away to serve other gods. So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit, here it is. Then a spirit came forward and said, and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Amen. You see, saints, we need to. And let me finish that. And do so. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. You see, sometimes, saints, we can't go by what the majority says. We have to have an ear to hear what God is saying, especially in these times that we're living in. If we really look with our eyes, our spiritual eyes, we will see that this what's going on in the world is not right. A lot of our judges, they call evil good and good evil. Amen? They're persecuting the church. Amen? You see, saints, we need to draw to the Lord. This is the message that God is telling me. In this time, in these days, we need to draw closer and closer to God as ever before. What are some of the examples that the enemy, Satan, uses to deceive us, to mislead us? He gives us disinformation. He openly lies to us. We see this, some examples are in the media, your TV, your news. You know, and it doesn't matter, I'm not being political here, but I'm trying to say that everybody has an agenda. And they want to give you their agenda. God's agenda is that you would be saved and that you would dwell with him. His agenda is souls for his kingdom. This is what it's all about, saints. It's souls for the kingdom of heaven. And God wants to put a spirit upon you, a deceiving spirit, that you're not doing what God's called us to do. So we get this from the media, the internet, our education system. What's going on in our schools is a shame. You know, they're trying to tell our children that they're not who God created them to be, male and female. That's a lying spirit, bold-faced lie. The devil's not afraid. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up, to pray. We need to get involved with our children, with our schools. Amen? If God is for you, who can be against you? There's false prophets in the land. If we can turn to Matthew, I know I didn't give you this one, brother, but if we can turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Matthew 24, you can turn there to your Bibles if you have it. Matthew 24, verse 5, 11 and 13. It says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ." And what does he say? He will deceive many. You see, because he deceives them, because they don't know the word of God, he deceives them with lying wonders. That's not what God has for you, saints. He doesn't have deception for you. Jesus came that you would know the truth, and the truth would set you free. Light shines in the darkness, and it scatters the darkness. Amen. Turn to verse 11 there, brother. 11 through 13. It says, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Keep going. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What are we seeing in the world right now? We're seeing lawlessness in our states, in our government. This is not what God has for us. This is a deceiving spirit. Okay, so now that we know how the enemy operates is through deception. And there are lying spirits out there because, you know, God puts them out there because he wants to get rid of them. He wants to get rid of them. If we can turn to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8. He says, so how do we come to know the truth? It says, if you abide in my word. Saints, this is where we need to get to. We all need to come into the word of God. When I came to Christ, I didn't know. Amen? I didn't know. I started reading. I started reading and reading. I started with the Gospels and started reading the word. Sometimes I didn't understand. I read it again. But little did I know that it's coming in me. It's getting in me. And as you speak the word out right, as you speak the word out loud, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. My faith was being built up. I knew and I know who I put my hope and my trust in. If those who believe in me, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When I was reading that, I liked that word. It says, indeed. You know, you read it, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Where is that verse at? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You are my disciples indeed. It's not just hearing the word, saints. It's indeed. It's in practicing his word. When you're reading it, you're reading and you're getting it in you. You got to put it to practice. If the Lord is putting a spotlight on something that's not right, we got to say, okay, Father, forgive me. I repent. And now I want to walk in your ways. And you put to death those things that weren't bearing good fruit. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord put in your, put a spotlight in you, you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I repent. You see, because this is part of indeed. You hear the word and you practice it. But God in this verse was saying you're his disciples indeed. Amen? Amen. Spending time with the Lord, reading God's word, praying, fasting, going to church, these are all essential. Even in our worship. You know, when we worship the Lord, those songs, They're biblical. The scriptures, the songs, they're scriptural. And as you worship them, you're singing them, but you're hearing them. They're getting in your inner being. And they're strengthening you. This, the worship is powerful. You know, I see a lot of times people come in late because they don't want to worship. But you're missing out. You know, when we worship, the Satan doesn't want you to worship. He doesn't want you to worship the living God, the true God. In the old days, we used to worship him with our songs, our music. We'd be out there dancing all crazy and all that stuff. Amen? But now we were blinded. We didn't know the truth. But now when we worship God, we're worshiping him with our heart. We're giving him praise and thanks for all that he's done for our lives, how he delivered us, how he loves us. I was just about to sing a song, but I'm not going to do that right now. I got to give my voice a rest, saints, and give your ears a rest. But you know, it edifies you. Worshiping God, it reveals God's truth, his love for you, his provision, how he fights for you, how he defends you. That's all in the Word of God. And as you worship him, you're starting to, God is revealing the truth to you. The scales off your eyes are being opened. Your ears are hearing the Holy Spirit. This is powerful, saints. It's really good. When we start worshiping him, it brings us into a deeper knowledge, a revelation of who he is. We worship who he truly is. Turn to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When I was reading this, it says, do not be conformed to this world. You see, the world lied to us. Satan's lied to us. When we're in the world, he lied to us. You thought that you were doing really well. You had a good job, good car, family. You know, you think you're doing well. This is one of the tactics, the deception of the enemy. But in your house, your marriages are falling apart. Not here. I'm not talking to you. But the marriages are falling apart. Children are being rebellious. There's drug abuse. There's chaos in the house. You see how deceptive the enemy is, where he tries. It's not money that's going to solve the problem. It's not your status in life, your position, who you are. It's who you are in Christ. When you know who you know, when you know that you know that you know who you are in Christ. I'm a child of God. I want all of you to say that tonight. Say it right now. I'm a child of God. That's who you are. That's the truth. That's the truth. He says, do not be conformed to the world. He says, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind is getting into the Word. Saints, we need to get into this Word. It's so desperate now. If not for your own self, we need it to be servants of the Lord, that we can go out and do what he's called us to do. We won't have to worry about what we're going to say because the Lord will fill your mouth. You know, I've been out one time with my wife in Reading, and we were in a bookstore, and I was sitting in the car, and this man came to me, and he goes, "Can you pray for me?" I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I was sitting in the car, and the Lord just filled my mouth because I spend time with the Lord. He fills your mouth with words that. He said, "Wow, I didn't think I could." After I ministered to him, I said, "Wow, I didn't think I could. I forgot all about that." But the Holy Spirit brings it up.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, saints, this is what I'm telling you. We don't know who God's going to send us, send your way. But we have to be ready in season and out. There's a world out there that is lost and they're dying because they believe the lies. They believe the deception. Satan is cruel. He's cruel. And he doesn't care. But the God we serve, he loves us. And he cares for us. And he goes on, that you may be renewed, that you may be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many times people come and they don't know what God has for them. What's their calling? What does God want me to do? God wants us to witness. He wants us to witness. Every one of us is called to minister. Every one of you here, those on live stream, we're all called to minister, to share the truth. There's a hurting world out there, and they need to hear the truth. Jesus loves them. Jesus died on the cross for their sins. Their sins have been washed away, and they are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. How do I know that? Because I read. We have to pray. There's times where you got to study the Word of God. God puts a word in you. It's like the other day I was saying, I was driving and the Lord said, deception. So the Lord drew me to start looking up deception. This is how he talks to us, saints.
Hallelujah.
He wants us to know the perfect will of God. We don't know the perfect will of God if we don't read. And the enemy ain't going to tell you. And he's not going to tell you the benefits. Psalms 103, I love that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You think the devil wants you to know the benefits of God?
No.
Who forgives your sin and heals you. You see that? How do I know? You got to study. One of the things I notice is the forgiveness of sins. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, death came in, right? But in between sin and death came poverty, came fear, sickness, disease, curses. All that's evil came in, lawlessness, rebellion, disobedience. That all came. When Jesus, when he healed the man coming down from the roof, when his friends lowered him down, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Because when your sins are forgiven, that shuts the door to sickness, diseases. It shuts that door. He's forgiven us. By his stripes, we are healed. The word of the Lord, the truth says that he bore our infirmities. You know, we're quick to run to doctors. And they're good. But why aren't we quicker to run to Jesus? Because it says in his word, he bore our infirmities. I want you to think about that. He bore your infirmities, your sicknesses, your diseases, your afflictions. He delivered you from your afflictions. The word of God is powerful. And Satan doesn't want you to know the benefits of God. He wants to hide them. You know, when I was going to say this before with a tithe, one of the greatest deceptions about tithing is finances, money. And what he uses is the lottery. Have you ever heard about the lottery? How many people, body of Christ, plays the lottery? Instead of putting their hope and trust in God, And God is true. He is faithful to his promises. We put our trust in the lie. You know, I heard some people say, well, you can't win if you don't play. I win because I serve God. Saints, we have to use discernment when it comes in these times right now. The enemy wants to lie to you. Deception. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 25, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice what he says right here. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, and does them. You see that? This is how God, he says, we have to be a doer of the word, saints. We have to practice them. We got to put them into practice. And he says, I will liken him to a wise man. You want to be a wise man? Then listen to what the voice of the Lord is speaking in his word. Listen to his voice. Practice what he's telling us. I will liken you to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. He is not moving. He is not moved. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and did not fall. That sounds like a storm. Rain, wind, amen, right? It just keeps coming. How many times when you're in trouble and you say, like, my gosh, when's it going to stop? In the world, I used to think that, man, when's this going to stop? It's got to get better. But I had no idea who God was. I had no idea of his promises he has for me. My wife, my family. I can always turn to God and say, Lord, you said that you would be my provider, that you would protect me when my children were sick or whatever. Lord, you pray over them. God heals them. When it starts raining, it pours, right? That's what the old saying. When it rains, it pours. But look at the person who does it. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There's no foundation, saints. There's no foundation. When I was early in construction, I used to clean footings. And most houses are 12 inches deep, 12 by 12. And I cleaned out the dirt. They put steel rebar and they pour concrete. That's the foundation that keeps that house from falling down. When you don't have a foundation, that house will fall with anything. And the bigger the house, the more foundation, the more structure it is. The more you study the Word of God, the greater your founded. Your roots are deep into the rock. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. Because you know that God's for you. Who can be against you? You know that God's on your side. You can cry out to him and he hears you and answers you. I like Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that nice to know that you're not in this alone, that God's with you? The creator of heaven and earth, your provider, your stronghold, your tower, your protector. Saints, it's time. It's time. Can we turn to Hebrews 12? I'm going to be closing pretty soon. Hebrews 12, verse 26 and 28. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Saints, there's coming a shaking. There's a shaking that's going to come, that if we're not strong in the Lord, if we're not rooted deep into Him, we could fall. I don't know what's going to happen. It could be the economy. It could be a war. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you're sick. That's a lot of shaking going on. But we can cry out to God because He hears us. I say again, saints, He loves you. That's why He brought you here. Because He loves you. This message, we need to study the Word and take it out. We need to take it out wherever the Lord puts you. Wherever you're at, at work, home, your neighborhood, wherever you are. Maybe you're sitting in the car like I was and somebody comes up to you. We need to be ready to give an answer to them. That God has their hand, that He won't leave them. He loves them. He died for them. We have to have an answer, saints, because the world, they're scared, they're hurting, they're oppressed, they're deceived because they believe the lie. They don't know God. God wants each one of us to draw closer to Him so that we can know Him intimately. Yes. He wants us to know what pleases Him, what doesn't please Him. He knows us that way. But now He wants us to know Him. He's a loving Father. He's not going to hide from us. That's how much He loves you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We go through battles, saints. The enemy is a liar. It says, casting down arguments and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know your mind lies to you? You know your heart sometimes lies to you? You say, oh, I feel this, I feel that. You're confessing it. But what does God's report says? That I am healed by Jesus' stripes. His word says, I have the mind of Christ. The enemy is a deceiver. He comes against the mind. The battlefield is in the mind. I was at work many years ago, and I had three men working with me. And two of them were really close friends, always talking, laughing. I could hardly get anything out of them. They were always talking and messing around, goofing. And I had this one man come with me. He just started working with me, and he goes, Fred, you know, these guys are talking about me. Look at them. They're laughing at me. And these two guys were always talking together and laughing. But see, when you look at something like that, your mind says, what are they laughing about me? They're talking about me. This is what I'm saying. The mind lies to us. You might go somewhere and say, well, they're looking at me. What? Am I dressed wrong? Maybe somebody says something to you, but they don't say it in the tone that you expect. Why did he say that to me like that? Why did she say that? Why didn't they hug me? You see, this is how the mind, this is the deception of the enemy. And when you're going under the attacks, you got to bring those thoughts under the captivity of the Lord. You got to start meditating on things that please God, that's pleasing Him. You got to start meditating on worship. Your worship, songs of worship, are your greatest defense, your greatest arsenal. Bring your thoughts under captivity. Bind the works of the enemy, the lying spirit, the spirit of deception. Let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 11 and 5. And I'm going to close with this. Matthew 24, verse 11, then verse 5. You get it, brother? Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. In the last days, in Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what were the signs of the end? And in verse 11, he says that many false prophets will rise and deceive many. You see, they can't deceive you when you know the word of God. You cannot be deceived. Satan tried to deceive Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Jesus being the Son of God, he knew the promises of God. He defeated the enemy with the word. This is our arsenal, saints. You have to defeat him with, thus saith the Lord. But that's what's happening in these many days. We see them in churches. These false prophets are saying false things and they're deceiving people. You know there's lying spirits that can bring healing? Did you know that? And when you read Genesis or Exodus, what happened? When Moses went before Pharaoh, the magicians were doing the same works he did. They were false prophets. They can do the same thing. Be not deceived, saints. Turn to verse 5. One of them they get is, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. You see, saints, we need to be careful where you're going, who you're listening to. You know, the Bible says that we shall know them by the fruits that they bear. What is it that they're bearing? Are they bearing dissension? Are they bearing heresy? Are they telling half-truths? That's not God's plan for you. God's plan that you should know the word. You shall know the Lord, and the Lord will set you free. You shall know the truth. Amen. This is God's plan for you, saints. I want to close with that verse, but I want to just pray for those on live stream. Father, I just thank you. And I pray, Lord, that the spirit of deception would be ceased now. We come against you, Satan. You are the father of all lies. We bind your lies to the body of Christ. And by the authority in Jesus Christ's name and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast out every unclean spirit, every spirit of deception and lies and half-truths in Jesus' name. And I declare over your lives right now that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Father, my prayer for those that are online right now, Lord, is that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they would turn to their first true love, Lord, and you are their first true love. And Lord, that you would meet them. Meet them in their deepest needs, that you would bless them and give them peace, Father. Lord, I ask that you would meet their every need and that there'd be no lack in their house, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to have an altar call. You can turn me off with some. And if the enemy has deceived any of you,